Yes, it's still morning. Had to check real quick. How's everybody doing today? Amen. Before we get started, let me just pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to be in your presence again, Father, for giving us another day of your glory, Father. So I just want to thank you, Father. Lord, let it be more about you and less about me, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit continue to take control, Father. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you know what? Just to be a little different, I don't know if you guys had an opportunity to greet each other, but just take a couple of minutes and just greet your neighbor. Just, you know, you can stand up and walk around and just say, hey, you know, good to see you. It is blessed to see you. Not like you haven't seen each other 5 minutes ago or something like that, but just to... Say hi to somebody you haven't said hi to today yet. Amen. Now I want y'all to look at your neighbor and tell him that if it wasn't for me, you'd be the best looking person in here. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Now, hey, we're at the end of our corporate fast. Amen. Now, I know a lot of you are just delightful, happy. You know, you're just like, man, finally, I get to. Oh, there we go. A little static in the speakers. So you're like, finally, man, I just get to go out and I get to. Somebody mentioned to me that I get to have a double cheeseburger. Something like that. I can't have that, but, you know, praise God, you can. So, you know, by all means, and enjoy yourself cautiously. because we're at the end of our corporate fast, but hopefully at the beginning of a breakthrough, a new level of your relationship with God. You know, it's not just about denying certain things of this world. It's about understanding the commitment that you have with God, and also that place that God wants you to be at this time and at this moment. And that's what it's about. The physical thing is just to move that out of the way so more of him can come into you. So how many were at Recharge? This is the best time, Recharge. Yeah, if you were at Recharge, we had a powerful time together, and especially in our praise and worship. There was a prophetic praise and worship that happened on Wednesday, and it was just a powerful time that we had. And one of the things that I asked at Recharge was that I asked a question during that time is during your fast, were you feeling the pressures of faith? During your fast, during that time frame, were you feeling, you know, the intense pressures of your faith and walking in Christ and dealing with the things that we see that's going on around the world? We talked about even feeling closed in, you know, being boxed in, and I compare that to an escape room, you know, and how you just can't get out. Like there's no way. You're just like, you know, Lord, where can I be? Where can I go? It's like you're just stuck in the same place. And because combined with even what is going on in the world, it contradicts what we believe in and it as far as how our life is with Christ, how our walk is with Christ. So we're feeling trapped. We're feeling there's no way out of this room, and because you're in this position, you basically have like two options when you think about it, right? When you're in this position, some will accept their condition. You understand? Some will accept that condition of being trapped. They'll sit there and then make a home out of that dysfunctionality. Is that a real word? If it ain't, it's one now. They'll make a home out of it, out of chaos, and eventually they'll conform to it. I can attest to seeing something like that because when we used to go to Port-au-Prince, to Haiti, to an orphanage, we used to go there all the time, and we would see how after the earthquake happened in Haiti, people got so, the destruction and the chaos that was going on, that people got so used to being in that particular environment that they started just to live on top of it. They started to sell commerce. They started to sell fruits and vegetables on top of trash. So all you had was just trash and garbage and everything all around it, but they're walking it around it like it's a lawn ornament, like it's a gnome or something. You know, they're working on it. You know, you got and you have pigs rooting in the garbage right next to when you're buying fruit and vegetables and things like that. So they took a dysfunctional environment and made a life on top of it instead of correcting it or moving out of it. And so that's what some people do. They make a life out of it. Or you have option number two. You break your way through it. You pray and worship and you call on the one true source on your way through it. And here's the interesting part. Sometimes, and a lot of times, especially when you're walking with Christ, those walls, those barriers are put up by other people. You know, they're put up by other folks. So for me, my whole process is that, you know, you should be thanking those individuals that put those barriers up in front of you. I'll tell you why. You should thank them. You should be like, you know what? I'm going to go and give you a $4.15 Starbucks coffee card, because that's when you get that little cup of coffee you get, just enough. So that, you know, just enough to get you right. You should go and give them and say, you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad you tried to put these walls up. I'm glad that you tried to stop whatever God was happening in my life. And I tell you why, because all you did was build me a prayer closet. That's all you did. All you did was build me a way to get closer to God. So those are your two options. You can become a part of the environment, or you can actually take advantage of your environment, advantage of your time with Christ. In John 17, verse 14 through 19, it reads, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate them, that they also may be sanctified in truth. See, Jesus' prayer is that we be in the world, but not of the world. There's a difference between the two. His prayer included protection for all of us that believe in his walk, that believes in his word. I heard an analogy of it. It is like a boat. You have like a rubber boat, right? And you have the raft, and it's on the water, and this guy and the raft was taking on water. Your faith is like that. The world is like the water. Water is not supposed to be inside the boat. Can we all agree with that? It's a bad thing. You're supposed to float on top of it. If you have water inside your boat, there's a problem. There's an issue. So when we have our walk with Christ, that's the difference. We're supposed to be a part of the world so we can actually be an influence, be a life raft, an oasis, if you will, to those that are of the world, but we don't want our boat to sink. We don't need water in our boat. So Jesus said this prayer because he knew that by us as believers and taking his word to the world, We will encounter good and evils in the world. It's important because the key is for you to maintain your spiritual identity while we're in our walk with Christ, and while we're operating in serving in the kingdom. The key is to understand your spiritual identity, because you must trust in the process as you continue to evolve in your walk with Christ and advance in your ministry. Advance in your ministry. So let's take a look at that. Ask your neighbor, what's your ministry? Now ask your other neighbor, what's your ministry? So my question to you is what is your ministry? So some folks, and most of us, we have multiple ministries that we're involved in, right? We have multiple ministries. Some of us, we have like a fantasy football ministry, right? Some of us have we shop for shoes and purses ministry, right? Yeah. Some of us, we got that babysitting ministry. Yeah, they don't like that one, but that's. Others, we got to pay the bills ministry. Yeah. And some, you know, to help out with that bill paying ministry, we got to go and get somebody to help us out with that. So we got to go and who's going to be my new boo ministry? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a different message right there. That's a whole different message right there. Yeah, we ain't going to talk about that right now. Ooh. Yeah, so I know this has been said over and over and over and over again, but it's important for us to relay that. It's important for us to understand. I guess to make it a part of our affirmation is that your first ministry is you and your home. That's it. That's your first ministry. You have to have a strong spiritual foundation in your house in order to be a believer in his house. That's important. And I say that is because if you're looking for spiritual growth in the kingdom, you have to have a sound core of your spiritual identity. We can't move to the next level in Christ until we know who we are in Christ. It's pretty simple, baby. We can stop right now. That's it. If I don't say anything else later on, that's the one thing. Understand who you are in Christ in order for you to move on in Christ. So your first ministry is your home and your foundation. So I don't know where it's coming from, but it's like you have to be able to understand where you are in your walk and how you're going to move forward in your walk. I've been going to see a nutritionist for like several months now, and she's good, and I'm glad that I have a nutritionist. Her job, just like the Holy Spirit job, is to understand what is the proper thing for you to digest. What is the proper diet for your body, for your makeup, and for who you are? See, not everybody has the same physical dynamics, and not everybody has the same calling in their spiritual walk, right? So the Holy Spirit tailor makes how you are and how you're supposed to walk in Christ. So for like, just like with me, with my dietitian, I need to make sure that when I go in my dietitian, I don't want to go into a place where my dietitian is like a cheeseburger away from having a triple bypass. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. Because how am I going to get information from somebody who obviously isn't following their own? Yeah. Right? So we need to make sure that who is feeding us is just as important as what we're being fed. That's important. So as we go through that process and as we continue to move on, we say, and everybody's heard all of this. And let me go back. The reason that we need to do all that is that because for every time, for every step that God has in our calling and in your life, there is always opposition to that. The Bible is full of that. It's full of, it even talks about you will be persecuted because of your belief. Now, we say, and there's a thing that we say, it's all churchy and everything, new levels and new devils. For every level that you go, you're going to experience a new devil. But also, that previous level that God had you in is a preparation for you to deal with that next level and that next level opposition. In the circular world, it's like more money, more problems. Right, everybody knew that. Yeah, more money. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all right, Biggie. All right, Biggie. That was from the book of Biggie. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, yeah. So it, that's one thing that we need to be careful of, just to be honest with you. And that's important, especially during the times that we're living right now. So we're through our breakthrough. We're like, yes, Lord, we have everything. We've moved past that particular level. We've gone past that particular barrier. So then now we're talking about what next, God? Okay, Lord, what next? How can I maintain what you have called me to be and be strengthened in what you have called me to be? How can I develop that? And the reason being is because at every level that you are, you gather spiritual and kingdom wealth. So when God breaks you through one area of your life, he moves you to another area of your life. And as you go into that next level, you're accumulating spiritual and kingdom wealth. We're not talking about the more money. That's not what spiritual and kingdom wealth is. We're talking about knowledge, discernment, you know, protection, foundation. That's that spiritual wealth you take from one place to another. So that's why when you encounter at that next level that new devil, you'll already be equipped to handle them because you've mastered the level that God has put you at right now. So right now, we are moving into that next level as a house. So right now, we're going to have some encounters. But I praise God because I know that he has equipped us to handle that next level. So whatever comes to us in this next level, we have to trust in him to put us through that and that we're able to handle those particular issues. So here are a few key points that will help us in the process of kingdom building, because that's what we're talking about. We're really talking about kingdom building. We're talking about building the kingdom that's within us, the spiritual kingdom that's inside of us, at the same time building his kingdom and fulfilling the calling that he has in our life. So it's like you're the contractor and now you have a subcontract. Building yourself and building others also at the exact same time. So faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation of who we are and who we believe and what we believe in, correct? That's it. That if you're a believer in Christ, it's because of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's important. That's what faith is. We have to have faith in what we haven't seen that's around the corner yet. So when your pastor talks about the vision, but yet you don't see the vision, that's because it's not here. That's why you have faith in what God has spoken over their lives, right? God has spoken over their lives, so then you say, well, I can't see it, but God has called it. So then, therefore, my faith walks and steps into it. That's the important part. So then now you have to have faith in what God has called over the house, this house. So tell your neighbor, with faith comes trust. Man, trust is an important word. Trust is an important word. And I'll tell you why trust is so important in the kingdom. Because many of us have been, how can I put it? Let down, discouraged, abused. Diminished. And I'm talking about kingdom. I'm talking about in the church, in somebody else's house, not here, in somebody else's house. Because a lot of us came here because of something else happened somewhere else. And so we have an issue with trust. We have an issue and say, well, how can I trust this man or woman of God? How can I trust this team? Or how can I trust this process? And then as soon as we see something that has a smelling or an irkling of what you have seen before, first thing you do is you're out the door. But the question is that I have for you is that faith in what God has brought you there to that place in that time? And then if you have faith, then you have to have trust. You cannot have faith and trust. You cannot have faith without trust. You cannot have faith without trust. You can't have it. You have to be able to trust what God has called you to do. And if you don't, then you have to ask your question, really, God really actually called me here. If you don't have trust and if you don't have faith, who actually sent you over there? That's the question that you have, that you have to ask yourself. So we get worried and we get frustrated about the next thing, about the next ministry, about the next meeting, about the next everything. We get frustrated about it. It's hard. It's intense. We get frustrated about the next job. But trust in the process. So trust in the process, we can only see a little bit down the road, but faith can see around curves. Faith can see around curves. So that's what we do. We trust and we have faith in that, in what God has called us to be in our life. So remember your source. That's another key factor. You have to remember your source. Understanding who you are and understanding who brought you to where you are. That's the key. Understanding your source. In Philippians 4:19, it reads, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Simple. Trust and faith. So when we try to or when it seems like that there's a roadblock or we see that there's some discouragement or somebody said something that they didn't like or somebody had a different plan than what you actually had a plan for, remember who your source is. You know? Remember who your source is. My wife and I, we always have a saying that when somebody says something or says they didn't like something, it's like, well, they're not my source. They didn't put in on this. You know, God did. So when you understand where your position is and where your spiritual position is, no matter what the opposition is, you always recognize where your source is. So with that source being there and you know where Christ is and where Christ is in you and you are in him, nothing can deter you from what God has called you to be. Nothing, because you know where your source is. Again, the word is full of opportunities in which the men and women of God were faced with much worse things than we were faced with. Being burned alive, being put in a lion's den. But they all knew who their source was, and God delivered them from that. So for that, we need to understand that we need to know who our source is. Next. And we're almost done because I know some people are hungry right now. Keep. Yeah, the stomach's growling. I understand. I can hear it, actually. Yeah, it's not the speakers, Pastor Will. It's them bellies that's sitting out there. So keep moving. Keep moving. Don't fall stagnant in your walk with Christ. You have to keep operating. You have to keep moving. The worst water to drink is stilled water. Water that's just been sitting there percolating. I call it percolating, just hitting in the sun. That's what I always tell you. Flowing water is the best water to drink from. But then if you drink from it, this is going to blow your mind. Make sure you know where the source of that water came from. Make sure you know who's wetting your lips. Be careful that you don't get complacent with Christ. Do not get complacent with Christ. Let's stop and think about that for 1 second. What does complacent mean? It means is that if your relationship with Christ is like punching in and out of work, you're being complacent. That's all. If it's a punch clock, you're complacent. If it's, I'll pray this afternoon, Lord, for that person who I just saw on the side of the road. You're being complacent. That's too much of a familiarity. That's not the familiarity with the Holy Spirit and with God that we want to have. That's more of we're on an even keel familiarity. And that's something that we don't want to have. We want to hold Christ to be way above than what we ever are. And the reason that is because we're always going to be needing, striving for something greater to that next level. So we need to make sure that we're not just punching in when we come into his grace and when we come into his glory. We don't need to make sure that we're not just setting a bless you. We're not just setting the time. Sorry, delay reaction. Well, we're not just setting a time, all right, God gets 3 minutes here. He gets 2.5 minutes over there. No, we don't want to put a time clock on God. We don't want to put a time clock on the move of the Holy Spirit. And all of those things are like being complacent, because what we're basically talking about is, what we're basically trying to say is that in order for us to move forward in Christ in this house, especially during this particular service time, we have to make sure that we are not being stagnant. We have to make sure that we're always moving forward. That even though we only may have 40 people in a service, one service, okay. Just think about all of those other people that God has prepared for us to come in contact with. So we need to always keep moving, but we also need to make sure that we're always in tune with God, what he wants us to be. That's the important part. Moving forward and ambition. So as we move forward, we're talking about kingdom responsibility. Save that one for last, because I think kingdom responsibility is the biggest thing. As believers, we have responsibilities. We have it, and it's important to have. So we have responsibilities, or our goal to be Christ-like. That's a pretty big goal. But our responsibilities are to make sure that whatever God has called us to do, not just in our own personal lives, but in this house, that we make ourselves available for it. Does that make sense? You know, if the chef, bless you, I'm not going to use a food analogy because everybody, I'm hungry right now. So if we need to understand that we need to be a blessing in the house that is blessing us. For me, for my prayer, and I do it, I try to do it every day, I ask myself, how can I serve the God that's serving me? Today, how can I serve the God that's serving me? That's how you operate and move in advancement. That's how you say, Lord, I'm ready right now. I may not have it all together. I know I don't have it all together. Oh, by far side, I know I don't. But what I'm saying is that I'm here and I'm available. And whatever you need for me to do, Lord, I'm here. Because you do so much for me, how can I not do just a little thing out of my time for you? Because compared to what he does to us, what we do for him is nothing. But he accepts it because he accepts it with the heart. He accepts it with his love. So we have, this requires usually, so the, this this usually requires us to try to be, to show an example of grace. So what I mean by that is that we have to live an exemplary or an example of grace in our life, because God's grace on us is pretty clear. What I mean by grace is somebody cuts you off. Okay, go ahead. Don't slam your horn. Don't flip nobody off. None of that. That's showing a little grace. That's showing somebody on the side of the road, you may not have any change, but I tell you what, I know you got a banana, an apple, some plantanos or something in your car, so whatever it is, you know, some tostones, go ahead and have them, you know, here you go. Grace. Instead of just driving by and acting like they're not even alive, show a little bit of grace. Show a little bit of love. If you know that somebody in this house is having issues, whatever it may be, show a little grace. Tell them, hey, I don't know exactly what's going on, but what I do know is that I'm here for you. So whatever I have that I can do for you, it's yours. That's grace. That's how we build a strong foundation of who we are spiritually in Christ, because that's who Christ was. That's who Christ is. So in Hebrews 12, verses 28, it reads, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverence and godly fear. That's important. That's what we're looking for. And I tell you why, because faith is not a spectator sport. It's not. Faith is interactive. It's full contact. You have to get a little dirty. You have to get involved. You have to extend yourself beyond what you thought you are and who you think you are. That's where the key is into an successful advancement in the kingdom. Because you can only advance if you advance your relationship with Christ. We can only move if we move in our relationship with Christ. That's important. So if you serve here in this house, you have a great work to do. It's nowhere near being finished. Because what God has in store for each and every one of us, the love you will see and the joy you will see from those individuals receiving the grace you pull out, that you push out, is enough to carry you on to the next level. So whenever you feel discouraged, think about grace. Whenever you feel the lack of trust, think about His grace. Whenever you feel lost, just know that He's right there with you and He's still moving. There is nothing greater than knowing that God walks with you. So when we come to that moment where we say, do I move here, Lord, or do I move there? That is when the spirit that you deposited, that kingdom spirit that was deposited in you, that kingdom wealth that was deposited into you, that's when it flourishes. That's when it moves out. That's when discernment comes into play. That's when God says to you, yeah, I hear you, son. Yes, I hear you, daughter. Move to the right. Don't take that job. Stand still. Sing a new praise. That's the type of relationship we want to have with Christ. We don't want to have a stagnant relationship. We don't want a stagnant life. The interesting part about being still is that if you're going to be still, make sure you're listening to God. make sure that there's a sense of peace in you. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that every person here that's under the sound of my voice, Father, let them have a greater spiritual presence in you. Let everything that they do, Father, be with you on their mind. So when they continue to move, they move in the steps that you have guided them through. That despite that new devil in that next level, Lord, we know that you have equipped them, Father. You equipped them with the right praise. You equipped them with the right worship. You equipped them with the right prayer. So, Lord, we stand here today, Father, with humble hearts, just to say, Lord, that we know who our source is. To say, Lord, that we have faith. And Father, we trust in you. We trust in your will for this house. We trust in who you are, Lord. That no matter what comes against anything, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are there to protect each and every one of us. Not because someone said so or someone believes so, Lord. We know because your word says it, Lord. As clear as day, straight from you. So, Father, we lift your word up. We lift you up, Lord. And we thank you for all that you are, Father. Lord, as the leaders in this house move on to the next level, Lord, as new vision moves on to a greater calling, Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to give them peace and discernment, Father, to give the pastoral team peace and discernment, Lord, to cover their house, to cover their families, Lord, to strengthen the foundation, Lord, which is you in each and every one of them, Father. So when they operate under your will, Father, they operate with authority and clarity. Lord, we call all those who serve in this house, Father, to have a great understanding of your will also, Lord. To let them know that they are not the least of all, Lord. That they are great. Father, we thank them for their love for you and their love for this house, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the next level of anointing that you have over their lives, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the protection that you have over them, Father. Because they are ambassadors of your will, Lord. They are ambassadors of this house, Father. And they represent the King on high. So I thank you, Father, for them. Strengthen them, Lord. strengthen them, just not in the flesh, Lord, but in the spirit also, Father. In the spirit, Lord. Not all of us are at the same level, Father, but we're all on the same team, Lord. We're all part of the same team, Father. So let all of our strengths, Father, let all of our skills, let the anointing flow, Father. And let it flow, Lord, to be a benefit to you and your kingdom, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for preparing us for the souls that are going to be coming through these doors, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for preparing us to go outside these doors and be a blessing, Lord. And to bring your word and your love and your grace to the marketplace, Father. To those that are truly in need. Truly in need, Father. So, Lord, as you equip us over the next several weeks, Father. As you strengthen us over the next several weeks, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Prepare our spirit, because that next level, that next battle is coming forward, Lord. But praise God, we know who our resource is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we glorify your name.